Hello.
Hey, remind me, is this podcast deep opinions on shallow topics or shallow opinions on deep topics?
It's everything. It's Deeply Shallow with Matt and Tara. Whether you feel deep, shallow, or just plain petty,
take a ride through life with us. Matt and Tara, as we chronicle it all.
Tell me the whole story, start from the beginning. What were you wearing?
Whether we are tackling aging, friendships, our spouses,
Hubba and Banana are the two luckiest people on earth.
Or any other of life's fun, we have different takes, but one goal. Get ready to laugh, shake your head, and wonder where our mothers went wrong.
I'm a 30-year-old woman, and I am still terrified of my mother.
Get in and hold on.
It's Deeply Shallow with Matt and Tara, and listener discretion definitely advised. What is up, Shallow Squad? Welcome to Deeply Shallow with Matt and Tara. Whether you're feeling deep or you're feeling shallow, you have come to the right place. I am your host, Tara, along always with my co-host. He says my number one job when he dies is to clear his browser history, Mr. Matt Hanley.
I did?
Yes.
Is this, I don't recall.
This is explicit written instructions. You told me to put it in a fireproof box.
Like Hillary Clinton style.
Yes. Burn the server.
Burn the server.
Yes.
Wow. Quick story about that. I had a buddy on that I served on city council with. And when we got new iPads, he said, "Hey, I want to make sure I get a new one. I don't want Hanley's old one." I was in front of an entire entire group. I was like, "Are you kidding me? Like, that's not my style."
You guys got to watch those government officials, especially these small town ones.
Yes.
They'll get you. You know what? Speaking of deleting browser history, I am so sorry to bring up this memory for you, but do you remember that time you opened your neighbor's mail?
Oh my God.
That person needs their browser history cleared.
Okay. Well, you could not handle probably their browser history.
Oh, like, yeah. No, it would probably it's out of my league.
It would probably take a long time to actually delete all of it. But no, so real quick, years ago.
Y'all, Matt is shaking telling y'all this story.
Okay. So, and everybody has probably done it at some point. You know, we get a zillion packages and you've ordered stuff. You might have forgotten you ordered stuff. So when you get a package, you open it, right? So I opened a package and the contents of the box were X-rated.
Yeah, they were.
They were very X-rated.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized, like, I don't order this stuff. So then I look on the package and it's my neighbor's. But I have torn this package to shreds.
Y'all, don't worry. I forced him to send me a picture of the packing label to prove it wasn't his.
Okay. And let me just say, the panic I had trying to get this sealed back up so that they would not notice that somebody, you know, had already opened this, because like that would have been super, super uncomfortable.
For
so
sure.
That was
tough.
That was panic.
Yeah.
And it lasted over a weekend. So I had it the whole weekend because I had opened it on like a Friday or whatever. And then like had to figure out a way to get it like over there, like so that it wouldn't be like. You can't drop
100%. They have a Ring doorbell. They saw you put it back.
This is before like the post office did Sunday delivery. So I couldn't like put it on Sunday because they had known that somebody else had it. So I had to wait.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, that was bad. That was really, really bad.
That was tough.
Okay. Well, Tara, so as always, we start our show, we check in. First thing, mental health awareness. We always score ourselves kind of where we're at, 0 to 10. Where are you at today?
You know, I hate to do this 2 weeks in a row, but I genuinely am at a 6 right now.
Well, you sound like you're at a 6.
Yeah, I'm low. I'm really nervous about today's topic.
You are?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm feeling super anxious. I'm feeling very vulnerable. I'm scared.
You were in your feelings.
I'm in my feelings.
You're in
I have
your feelings.
A lot of feelings happening.
And to boot, you are not feeling well. You have been...
Yes.
You have been a little under the weather. Well, actually a lot under the weather. You had strep throat and now you're battling allergies.
I have this weird congestion that will not go away, even though I do kind of love the way it makes my voice sound. Not going to lie.
So now you are channeling Tara Reid.
Yes.
With the raspy voice.
You know, I am that strange person who I get everything backwards. Like most people get allergies in the summer. I get them in the winter.
Yeah.
Most people get strep throat in the winter. I usually get it in the summer. This is the latest I've ever had it. So
you have a real issue with strep throat.
I do. This is genuinely probably my 60th time.
Yeah, that's what the banana said. She's like, she's not exaggerating. She's probably had strep throat 60 times.
Yeah, I mean, some years I'll get it 4 times a year, sometimes twice a year, but always, always, always at least once a year.
Gosh.
It's so weird.
Wow. Okay. Well, so it's understandable you're at a 6. You're nervous about today's topic and you're also a little under the weather.
Yes, yes.
Okay, okay.
Well, but.
Yes.
Hubba is home.
Hubba is home.
Mm-hmm. This is the first podcast since I think episode 2 that he has been home.
Yeah.
So that's been great.
Yeah. No, I know you're glad to have him home and also probably about to kill him at the same time. But
100%.
Yeah. But it is good to have him back in town.
Yeah.
So today I'm probably at an 8.
That's high.
Yeah.
That's a solid number.
I like the cold weather.
Me too.
I like, you know, we've passed Halloween. We are now like screaming towards Thanksgiving. We are screaming towards pecan pie and Christmas and all of the fun things that are, you know, in the holiday season. So I'm rolling on a pretty good note.
You want to hear something so crazy?
Sure.
I have never had pecan pie.
Whoa. You are from Texas and you have not had pecan pie?
Yes.
Have you ever even tried it?
No. I've never had pecan pie.
Just doesn't appeal to you? Just doesn't sound good to you?
Something about like the pecans laying on the sticky layer.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
That doesn't look good to me. And everyone always freaks out and they're like, it's the best thing, but I've never had it.
Well, let me just tell you, pecan pie is either really good or it sucks ass. I mean, there is... There's a lot of difference. I feel the same way about German chocolate cake. There is really good German chocolate cake and then there's really bad German chocolate cake. So like,
for sure.
I think it really does depend. My mother has an amazing pecan pie recipe that maybe you'll try.
No, my Nana's like an amazing cook and I've never had hers. I'm not trying it.
Okay.
Sorry, Anne. Okay. But that's enough about your mother. Let's take a break from talking about her at some point in this podcast.
Okay. So, as Tara alluded to, she is a little nervous about today's episode. Shallow Squad, today we are taking it in a direction that is one that we hope will provide humor and will provide encouragement. And we hope Tara doesn't cry.
I'm going to try really hard, y'all.
We're going to talk about failures today.
That's right. Failing like we just don't care.
Failing like we just don't care. Okay, folks, we're going to jump right in. Tara, have you ever been fired from a job?
Yes, I have. I know that might come as a shock to some people. So yes, sir.
So here, I also have been. So here is where, folks, we're jumping right in. Okay. And we know that you guys out there are probably thinking back to, you know, that job that you forgot to show up to work 2 or 3 days in a row, you know, because you thought it'd be more fun to party with your friends. And then you got, you know, got the axe or whatever. And what is so interesting about this topic, because Terry, you actually had the idea for this topic, for this show.
I did. I regret it now. But
And when Tara came up with this, while we were on the phone, I had already typed out 2 pages of my failures into the notes section of my iPhone. I was like, I have material for, I mean, we could do a Joe Rogan style podcast. We could be here for 3 hours hashing out all the failures that I've had in my life.
And Matt is one of those people who loves to like berate himself. It's a big part of his mental health. And I was like, is this kind of some kind of sick way that you're like going to get yourself in a dark place? Because then I don't want to do it.
No. I'm at the point in my life where I can look back and smile and laugh because I do believe, and I really do believe, whatever happens, whether it's, and you know, we're going to go through a few different types of failures, but we're going to start with professional.
Sure.
And I'm a big believer that you are like where you are today has been woven through your lifetime. So
sure.
All the events that have happened to you, both positively and negatively, are part of who you are. So, okay. So let me ask you if this would surprise you. Listeners, you can vote as well. Would it surprise you, Tara, to know that I worked at a mechanics shop, a full service gas station mechanic shop when I was in high school?
That's got to be a joke. That cannot possibly be real.
Mr. Ken Jones, who I believe passed away several years ago, wonderful man, hired me to work on Saturdays at his full service gas station. His son and I went to high school together. And
I'm speechless right now. I can't even think of something witty to say because the idea of you doing any kind of manual labor is hilarious.
So I actually have had several manual labor jobs. I worked at a mechanic shop for about 6 or 8 months, and it ended up I had another opportunity come up for the summer, and so I quit. And that was probably a blessing because Mr. Jones probably would have had to fire me at some point. Because
right.
This was like full on, like we would sit in the bay, you know, at lunch, we would take turns like sitting in the bay on a stack of tires, eating a Sonic burger, like off this, you know, off the floor. I mean, it was like, that was my Saturdays for several months.
You guys, Matt Henley is currently wearing cashmere socks and loafers that are more than my rent.
That is not
full accurate. Working as a mechanic is hilarious.
Yes.
One time I had a flat tire.
Yes.
I called Matt for help. He's shaking his head as if he helped me.
No.
Oh my gosh, he called a tire shop to come change my tire for me, which I did appreciate.
But you
were not down on the ground helping me.
Well, you would have been there for hours longer than you were. They had that tire fixed and you were gone in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But what's even crazier is I actually thought that that's what I wanted to do. Like, I thought that's what I wanted my career path to be, was to be an auto mechanic. And you can ask the banana, you can ask my mother, you can ask me. I can't fix anything.
No, he's
I mean, I can barely fix toast. I mean, like, it's
straight up. Straight up.
If my boat mechanic is listening, I mean, like, we should have had him on today to speak to how terrible of a mechanic I am. I have to call him handyman. I have to call him for everything. But okay. So that was probably my first foray at the ripe old age of 15. I was 15 when I started that job. So that was the first professional failure, if you will, of the deal. Now, here is where I learned something though in my second career path, if you will. Mm. Not really a career path, second job.
Okay.
I got hired when I was in high school to park cars, to valet cars for a lady in town who was uber, uber wealthy.
Okay.
And she would throw these blowout parties.
She sounds like my kind of woman.
Yes, she was everything. But she had a driveway that was like on the top of a hill. And I mean, it was a very tall hill. So she didn't want her guests to have to like park and walk up. So she hired us to valet park cars.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I realized I don't want to be poor the rest of my life.
Yeah.
So while I was running to get cars, you know, running to get, you know, keys and cars and park these, and we would make, like in high school, we'd make like $100 a night in tips.
Wow.
I think she may have paid us, but then we got tips too. I mean, we'd make like $100.
Yeah.
That was big money back in my high school days.
Sure. Yeah. Being poor sucks. Take it from me.
You are not poor. I don't know why
Hashtag the poor friend. Why
you tell everybody that. You're not poor.
Jeez. Just in comparison.
Yeah. How about you? Have you had some miserable jobs?
You know, I've had some miserable jobs in my day. You know,
have you had some jobs that didn't fit?
Yes, definitely. I think everyone has.
Yeah.
You know, the problem with my crappy jobs, if you will, is that when I was growing up, my dad is a self-made man.
Yep. Yes.
Yep. So was my mom.
Right.
They run a very successful business. They're both extremely successful in their profession.
Very driven people.
Yes.
Yep,
and absolutely. They raised me with the understanding that here is the entire world.
Yeah.
Take what you want from it.
Right.
And work your ass off and you'll be fine.
Right. Yeah.
So when I was 15 and I wanted a car, my dad said, great, how are we going to pay for this car? And essentially, we started a vending machine business.
There you go.
Where I would get out of school, go collect the money, restock, do all these things so that I could buy a car, make the payment on it. And so from a very young age, I was just like, as long as you work hard, everything's going to be okay.
Okay.
And then you get into the real world.
Yep.
And that's not always necessarily the case.
You are absolutely correct. You are absolutely correct.
So that was a hard lesson to learn when you get a little bit older.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I also can speak to that. My first job out of college was working for Enterprise Rent-A-Car, which is a fantastic company. I don't want to say anything negative about them. I learned a tremendous amount. One of the things I learned was about the politics of the workplace.
Yes, sir.
And this was probably my first, like, what I would call professional failure.
Mm-hmm.
Was that I started working for Enterprise actually when I was still in college, and then went on to work for them after college and all that. Well, I was looked fondly on by one of the regional vice presidents.
Okay.
And I was one of his guys, which was great. I lived a glorious life until one day he got canned. One day things changed.
Right.
And they brought in another guy who was not a fan of Matt and me at all.
Yeah, he did not see what all the hype was about.
And also, I'm going to be very honest here. I got promoted above my level of competence.
Okay.
And I think that's a really, you've heard the old adage, like, the mistake is taking the best salesman and making them a sales manager of people or whatever. Sure. So that was my situation. I was really good at certain parts of the job.
Right.
But once I get into managing people, I was like, this is not really for me. This is not my deal.
Which now explains why your two employees are your mom and your sister.
Yes. And I can't control them.
And
either.
They boss you around.
And they boss me around. Yes. So this was probably my first real look and say, oh my gosh, I'm terrible at this job.
Right.
Like, I'm not succeeding.
Yeah.
And it was humbling.
Sure.
But looking back, it was like one of the greatest things I could have gone through.
Right.
So I quit this job, but I'm telling you right now, I was probably 2 weeks away from being fired. And it just because my job performance was bad and I didn't have my...
You didn't have your protector.
I didn't have my protector any longer. And right. So I was pretty much SOL in that department. And
you actually had to answer for your actions at that point.
Yes. And I know there's some, I do know that I have some of my former coworkers that listen to the podcast. So they will probably name names, but
yeah,
email
me, you guys, Tara@deeplyshallowpodcast.com. Tell me all the dirt.
But that was the first time that I really had to look in the mirror and be like, man, you suck at this.
Right.
You've got to find something else. You are not going to last in this game.
That is so funny that all three of your failures that you talked about have something to do with cars.
Yeah, that is weird.
Yeah.
That is really strange. I actually had not even thought about that till now. But yes, that's where it is.
Yep. Interesting.
So I think that one of the lessons I learned about this, and I literally am laughing at this because there are days that I am very stressed out in my current profession. But after we started talking about this, and I mean, literally thinking back to Mondays were hell days for us at Enterprise. It's just the way that business works.
Mm-hmm.
And
Mondays are great for everyone else.
Right. So. Well, they were especially bad for us. But as I was typing this up, I was like, oh man, I remember the feelings I used to get on Sunday. It would ruin my entire Sunday.
Yeah, the Sunday scaries.
Yes, I could not.
Steroids.
Could not even function on Sundays,
mm-hmm.
like just because I was already so worried about what Monday morning was going to be like.
Right.
And so that, so in looking at that, that's one of the things that I hope that we can kind of portray through this humor is now, like in retrospect, the stress I have now is, even though I have a lot more responsibilities and stuff, the stress I have now is nothing to that. And I'm so much better off having, and I owe that company a lot because they taught me a ton of, you know, there's a lot of training involved, but I'm so much better off now than I would have been if I had stayed there.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
So I think that when you find something in your professional that it's hard to change careers.
Sure. It really is.
It's hard to acknowledge, hey, I'm stuck. But it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I have nothing but admiration for folks who are able to change careers midstream and go a different direction or do something else. That takes a lot of bravery. And like, it's a thing to be lauded and acknowledging that, hey, maybe this isn't my cup of tea.
Right. I think the thing that I am taking away from what you're saying too is that you used to dread going to work.
Yes.
On Mondays.
Yes.
And I think so often people will, instead of asking, is this job working for me? They will suffer through being miserable rather than take a chance on finding something else.
That's exactly right. There is a saying that people make changes when the fear of the change becomes less than the pain of staying the same.
Right.
And I think that's what you're saying. Is like, it has to get to a point where it is so bad that you're like, oh, I'll take that leap. I'll take that risk. You know, I got to go, you know.
Sure.
And, you know, some people aren't afforded that luxury that they can do that because of responsibilities or whatever. But, you know, if you can, it's totally cool to acknowledge, hey, that wasn't my thing.
Right.
Yeah.
I am the poster child for things not being my thing. I genuinely am.
Okay. You were.
I have had so many different ideas and jobs in different industries trying to find my thing. I feel like I tell my girlfriends all the time. Or I used to, I can't find my thing. What's my thing? What am I supposed to be doing? And being married to someone like Hubba, who it is always since really early in our relationship, this has been his thing.
Yes.
And so I'm always just kind of looking around like, what's my thing? Like, what am I supposed to be doing with my life?
Yeah.
So, and sometimes it takes much longer than we thought it would to find our thing.
But you know what your thing is.
Yes.
You are a natural born sales person.
I am. And y'all, I tried to fight it for years.
You did.
I did, not really want to be a salesperson.
Yeah.
Because my parents were in sales. They're both realtors.
They're both in sales. Yeah.
And one, it is incredibly hard work.
Yes.
Two, it is extremely demanding.
Yep.
And three, you never can just kind of sit back and relax. You're always chasing the next sell.
Yes.
So I just did not want to be a salesperson.
But you are so good at it.
It sounds weird to be like, I know, but that's my thing. For whatever reason, that's my thing. And I finally.
But it took you years. But it took you years to get to that point.
It took me years to, one, embrace it myself.
Yes.
But it also took me years to find someone who was willing to put in the time, energy, love, respect to shape me into being a great salesperson.
Sure.
Which my current boss has done for
me. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Carla has made me see potential in myself that I did not want to see.
Yeah. And see what, and I, Tara's being very modest at this point, but what I will say is.
One of us has to be.
Yes, I've been humbly bragging about all of my failures to this point. I'm sorry. I was hogging the spotlight on that. But really, when you look at it, what you do on a daily basis, like that would give me the Sunday scaries like every day because, but it comes so natural to you and it doesn't bother you. There's a lot of people that like you mentioned sales, like literally, you know, they would, you know, do anything because it's just, it is so hard, but it comes so natural to you and it's such a gift for you. So moral of that story is sometimes you have to quit fighting what's natural and go with it.
Yeah. Sometimes you genuinely do fail upwards.
Yes.
The job that I was fired from, it really shook me because I had never been fired before. I'd always thought as long as you work hard, everything will work out in the end. And in this situation, it just didn't.
And you were young.
And I was very young. Yeah. It was my first job out of law school. And it's hard to think about how you're going to feel in 5 years or 10 years.
Right.
Because all you can think about in that moment is that you feel like this was unfair or you feel like it was extremely personal or whatever reason that you're feeling in that moment. It's hard, especially being young, to kind of take a seat and understand this is all going to work out.
Right.
And now when I look back, I think that that has impacted who I was as a person tremendously, tremendously. But also, and I tell Hubba and my close friends this all the time, is even though it is something that stays with me, it was the best thing that ever happened to me because I've never had a job that has paid me less than that job. And why I was so set on keeping myself small and in this box, I don't know.
And some of that comes with maturity and like realizing, seeing the forest for the trees and seeing all these other opportunities. Mm-hmm. But
and time heals. It really does.
And honestly, your situation was not too terribly different than mine, where political winds change. We both learned this at an early age.
Yes.
Political winds changed. And, you know, like I said, I saw it a little bit sooner. And so, like I said, I quit before I got fired, but I would have ultimately gotten fired.
Sure.
And that's one of those things that when you're able to look back on it and say, gosh, that was a really positive step, even though it was very painful in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, you go through some tears and then you keep on plugging.
Yeah, and now I get to talk shit about you on my podcast, assholes.
So, Terry, you are literally getting the last laugh.
I'm literally getting the last laugh right now.
So if anybody else, I guarantee you there are some people out there right now that are like, that are remembering their jobs and situations they had. And they're like, damn it, I need to get me a podcast so I can drag.
You guys, maybe email me. I will help you set up a revenge podcast.
A revenge drag
just
podcast.
Just so you can drag the people who have done you wrong.
Your former employers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, we can have a support group, the podcast revenge series. And we'll just say a bunch of mean shit about people who have done bad. It'll be great. I'm really excited. Yeah, can we do that for real? Next episode, you guys, send us your material. We'll drag them for you on ours. Save you a ton of money.
That's good. That's really good.
Okay. But you know what? It doesn't matter. You're going to be the bad guy in someone's story regardless.
More than likely.
Right. Luckily for us, we've had a lot of experience failing far before we were ever paid to do it.
Yes, the stretch is the net is way wider than just professional.
Yes. So let's kind of touch on some other types of failures that we've had in our life.
Okay, what kind of student were you? Let's talk grades.
Yes, let's talk grades.
Let's talk middle school, high school. What kind of student were you?
So I was actually a pretty good student.
You were?
Yeah, and let me tell you why.
Okay.
Because my mom was a crazy person about our grades. I have a vivid memory of this lady not letting me go to prom because I had an 89 in Spanish.
You did not go to prom?
I had to do some kind of extra credit assignment.
Oh my God.
To get my grade up to an A so that you could go to prom. Yes.
Over an 89.
Yes. Mom, you owe me $300 for therapy that I had to talk about. Over the past 6 weeks, remembering that for this podcast.
Okay.
So, Venmo me.
So here's where our mothers are. My mother would be breathing a sigh of relief if I was talking about an 89.
Like, really? That shocks me that you were not a good student.
She would be like, oh, thank you, Lord. I was a terrible student.
That really surprises me because you're so good at numbers.
Well, I didn't like it. I did not like school from the standpoint of, like, I just didn't like homework. I was just lazy. Honestly, I really was lazy. That was probably my number one issue. I was just lazy. And for those who were like this as students, or those who now have children who are going through this phase of life where you have the lazy student in your household, it was a death march when we had progress reports and report cards.
Yeah.
Can I tell you that I actually forged a report card one time?
Are you serious?
Do you remember Kinko's?
No.
Okay. So Kinko's, before it was FedEx Kinko's, it was just Kinko's.
Okay.
And they just had like copy machines in there.
Right.
Okay. You could go in and you put this little counter in there and you made copies and it counted them and then you just paid for it or whatever. Right. So it was like a copy and print center kind of thing. They had just like these big copiers set up and had all the tools and stuff you would need to crop and whatever. So literally, I'd take my report card in there if like I had a bad grade that 6 weeks, and I would like make copies and like be over there with a little X-Acto knife, like cut numbers out and like.
Oh
literally.
My gosh, that would have actually been really good to know once that 89 came out.
Yes, I could have helped you on that. So, but what was so great is the people at Kinko's, like, they never even like hassled me over it. I mean, they were about it. They were like 40 copies, you know, and I'd be over there just doing my thing or whatever.
They know what's up.
Yeah.
They've been there.
Yeah.
They've done that.
So that's how bad it was. And I had such amazing teachers and they were so patient. And, you know, I was a late bloomer when it came to education. Like, right. I just didn't get it.
And then you realized that you had really expensive taste in wine. So you stepped up your game.
Right. Well, like I said, I mean, I was just not good at what I thought I would be good at, like, you know, being a mechanic or whatever. That's not how my mind works. But also, and this is no joke. When my mother hears this, she would agree. I almost did not pass high school.
Really?
It literally went down like to the, like, I had an English class and I had an English teacher, and she, to this day, I owe this woman a debt of gratitude because she held me to the fire. Like, she was not going to let me, because I generally am good at talking to people and getting generally what I, you know, persuasion, but this one was not having it. Miss Phillips.
She was not going to be sold on
you. She was not going to be having it.
She was from the same camp that your new boss at Enterprise was.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Not having it. Not having the Matt Hanley
show. She wasn't up with your shit.
Yeah. She was not. Okay. So when I say I barely passed high school, like it now was evident to me that, okay, I'm not going to go into these other career paths. So I better go to college. That would be a good thing. But my grades were terrible.
Right.
Luckily, I did test well. So do you know how I chose to go to Austin College?
No, but I'm surprised that you got into Austin College because your grades were terrible.
Well, I had a very good ACT score, that I could test well.
You want to tell everyone and brag about how good it was?
No, I don't. Okay.
You guys, I'll tell you later.
So I had a friend from high school that went to Austin College.
Okay.
I went to see her for a weekend and actually stayed in the female dorm there at Austin College for the weekend. And I had so much fun. I was like, this is it. This is where I'm going. And I literally went over and met with an admissions rep, and they said, we will take you on the, what was the word? They accepted me, conditional acceptance.
Okay.
So then I had to take two summer school classes, and then I was at Austin College. But that is literally that is when my education turned, was when I got to college.
Something you found,
yes,
your motivation.
Yes, awesome. Absolutely. Absolutely. So what about you? Any other educational fail forwards that you have?
You know, a lot of people probably don't know this about me, but I'm actually a law school dropout.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, I am. I wonder if that makes people jealous. I'm going to say probably not. Only people who are lawyers are jealous that I'm a dropout.
That they realize like, oh, she got out while she could.
Yeah. You know, that was probably one of the moments in my life that I felt like the biggest failure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really tough.
Yeah.
But now I look back and I'm like, thank God.
Thank God. Yeah.
Thank God. Yeah.
And see, that's what takes so much courage and so much bravery to say, this is not for me. Because the easier way would have been just to pursue it and been miserable, you know, doing a career that wasn't for you.
The hard thing about failing is not just how shitty it makes you feel on the inside. It's having to tell everyone around you, all the people who were cheering for you to succeed are disappointed. And then all the people who were cheering for you to fail are really happy. So that's the hard part, is you don't want to give these types of people satisfaction.
Yeah.
But more importantly.
Yeah.
And I remember my mom and dad, who are extremely demanding.
Sure.
Who expect the absolute best of me.
Absolutely.
I wanted to die when they, you know, were finding out that I was not going back to law school, and, you know, they were comforting me, which was strange.
Right.
And I remember my mom telling me, you know what, Tara, it's not like anyone has died.
Right.
And I thought, who is this alien who has invaded my mother? No, but I was so relieved because I was like, oh, I thought everyone was going to hate me and be disappointed in me. When I told my husband, Hubba is not a man of many words. Nothing shakes him. Nothing rattles him. You know, he gave me a hug and he was like, all right, girl, like on to the next.
Right.
You know, it was just very.
Yes.
It was casual. Yes. It was weird. And here I was thinking I was the biggest failure on earth.
So you had built it up in your mind that it was going to be this.
It was
going
to define me for the rest of my life. I was going to have this scarlet letter that I was law school dropout, failure, loser.
And how long did that actually last?
I mean, a couple days.
Yeah. And then you're like, okay, we're on to the next deal.
Yeah. And then I immediately went and failed at my first job after law school. So that really helped take the focus off.
So there
that
was,
I was a failure at law school.
There was a tough run. But
yeah,
you have been up and up and up since then.
That's right.
But you're exactly right. The idea of, we build things up in our mind to be much bigger than they actually generally are going to be.
Right.
And when you take that step to say, okay, I'm going to do something different, or this is not for me, or whatever. I'm telling you, I have the utmost respect for anybody who makes that decision, because it is tough. It really is.
Yeah. And the thing about it was I just was not good at it. I mean, that was the end and short of it, it was
didn't.
Not my thing.
Yeah.
I was not good at it. I didn't like the people. Yeah. I didn't like the environment. Yeah. It wasn't my thing.
Right.
And I did not want to accept that, but it was just the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. Okay, y'all. So if we have not hit close enough to home to you yet by
if
talking.
You're so good at your job, yes, and you were an A plus student. One, you suck.
But
go listen to a nerdy podcast.
Yes. So if you cannot relate to any of our previous material when it comes to failures, now we're going to go into relationships.
So suck on that. So,
and everybody has had some failure with relationships. I mean, I don't know anyone who's gotten love right like the very first time.
For sure.
Tara?
I mean, I don't know why you're looking at me. I have a path of jilted men in my rearview mirror. The hate mail's really going to come hard for me on this one.
Oh, y'all, the
problem is I'm going to recognize most of these email addresses I'm about to get hit with.
The trail of broken hearts that Tara's left behind before she met her true love.
That's Hubba. Right. That's right. My true love. Who's currently texting me that I'm swallowing too loud on this podcast.
And that your voice is annoying.
Yes. That's when you know it's real, y'all. That's when you know it's real.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
Okay, but let's start with you. Let's start with your failures on relationships.
Okay, so, and I think a lot of people probably feel this way, but I feel like I'm failing at parenting, like, on a daily basis.
Oh, for sure.
And so I think, you know, honestly, when I, like, that's the failure that keeps me up at night probably mm-hmm. the most.
Okay.
And it's probably illogical.
Sure.
But I mean, I've had some bad moves with in the parenting department.
Well, let's talk about them. That way your ex-wife can have a lot of material for her lawyer.
Yes. So the number one thing that my children love to do while they're with us is play poker. So we play poker. That is like the number one thing they want to do when, as soon as we get done with school and after school activities and homework and all stuff, like, it's like, Dad, can we play poker? Can we play poker? And I mean, we have the poker chips, we have the cards. I mean, and they are very good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And I sometimes think, man, is this really the the path that I want them to go down? But I don't know. You really don't. Parenting is one of those things you really don't figure out how bad you failed until way out there in the future.
Yeah. If they don't become a serial killer, I think you're good.
Oh, yes.
But you know what? Yeah. Let me tell you two things talking about your parenting. The first thing, I think what marks a good parent is someone who always thinks they're doing a bad job or worries that they're doing
worries
a bad
about
job.
It, that they care that much.
Yes. Yeah. That's usually a good indication you're a good parent.
Yeah.
The second reason I know you're a good parent is because your boys are so authentically themselves. They are not afraid to be exactly who they are. And a good example of this is if you ever go into Matt Hanley's home,
yes,
and his children are there.
Yes.
The youngest one,
yes,
does not have clothes on.
Yeah.
He has his boxer briefs on, yes, or yes, his underwear.
Yes.
But he walks in, strips off his clothes. He doesn't care who's there. This is his house.
He really doesn't. And honestly, it's not only my house, it is my mother's house. And I'm pretty sure Meemaw's house is the same way. And I'm actually really concerned that it could be that way at other people's homes too, who I don't actually know, that where he could be at a friend's house this way. But it's so funny because we were talking about it and I said something about it and you said, oh, well, you know, wearing basketball shorts and, you know, I said something like, well, he's got to get comfortable. Yeah, that's what I said. So he's got to be comfortable. And you said, well, I mean, yeah, of course, the basketball shorts and t-shirt is, you know, is really restricted.
Highly restricted. Highly restricted clothing. Yeah.
So I told you, I said, well, to a 9-year-old, basketball shorts and a t-shirt's like, you know, Spanx for women. Like, he's just got to get it off. Like, right. he's not having it.
Got to come off immediately. Yeah. It's every day on, every day off.
They are both very authentic.
He will walk out. I'll be in the living room. And the first couple times I was like, oh, he doesn't know I'm here. You know, he's going to be embarrassed. It's like, sup, girl? Okay. Hey. Like, hey. Hey bro, I'm just looking around. No one's phased. No one's, this is normal.
This is a normal behavior.
Okay. Well,
Yes. Yeah.
I'm in your home.
So also as a, I recall a time, this was back when Banana still had her house.
That so, 5 minutes.
Yes.
After
so,
you met her.
Yes. So we were all over there. And so she was getting the dog's dog treats. And the youngest says, well, what do those taste like? She's like, I don't know. Dog treats. Says tastes like beef, whatever. He's like, okay, well, can I have one? She's like, yeah. So she gave him a dog treat.
I think the most questionable thing you've done as a parent is bring the banana into their lives, honestly. Other than that, you're probably good.
What about your parenting, Tara? Where
you know, I just live in a constant state of mom guilt. Just constantly.
Yeah.
I'm always questioning my parenting, mostly because I work a lot.
Yeah.
And there'll be some times that B's the first one
right
at daycare and the right. last one to get picked up. Yeah. And a lot of the times that makes me feel like shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is. I'm hoping that she looks back and thinks of her mom as someone who hustled and made things happen for her.
Absolutely. Yes.
But when she calls me Tara, I start to wonder, like, does this girl know I'm her mom? I'm like, she asked Gina the other day. I take her to cheer practice with me sometimes. And she walked into the parent room and asked Gina, where's Tara? Everyone was just like, you mean your mom?
No, I'm looking for Tara.
Yeah, I'm looking for Tara. I need some snacks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like a bill collector at that point. No, not mommy. Tara.
Right. And then every so often I think I'm doing a good job or something. And then we'll go to dinner like we did on Saturday night.
Yeah.
And all we did was approach the table full of people that she knows and loves. And she just started screaming randomly for no reason.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, is she a psycho and I'm missing all the signs?
Are the warning signs there?
Yeah.
She's 2 years old.
Yeah.
It's just
this is what everyone likes to tell me. Oh, terrible twos. Pause. Watch out for those threes. I'm like, this is not good encouragement, you guys. This is actually the opposite of encouraging.
Yeah. I will say this for myself. I am a much better parent the older my kids get.
Mm-hmm.
I believe every parent. So like if you're out there and you're like, oh my gosh, I have an infant and I'm terrible at this. Odds are there's a phase of their life that you're going to be better at than another.
You're really going to shine. Yeah.
Exactly. And I think, you know, that's why I've enjoyed teaching college. You know, like the older that my kids get, the better it is, the more interaction you can do, the more things you can be a part of together. And so like, if you're going through that phase as like a parent, like, and you just feel like a complete F up, like, trust me, it gets better because you'll come into your phase of their life that you're good at.
Right. And if not, soon they'll move out and
hopefully, you know, get a job and
get
off your payroll.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Absolutely. Okay. What about relationships?
Romantic relationships? Specifically
romantic relationships. Okay. Go ahead.
I mean, I feel like you have more experience in failing at this than I do.
Okay. Well, that's fair. That's fair. I admittedly have a failed marriage, you know, on the books, and that is the thing about marriage, which we did we had a very well received podcast, you know, early on, that where we talked about marriage and how tough it is and, you know,
sure,
and all that. And generally speaking, marriages don't fail just because of one person.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now there are some circumstances, do not get me wrong, where there is, you know, a situation where one person is completely at fault. I get that.
Banana's side eye when you said that right now was like very strong.
But for most marriages, I think that there's blame that, you know, can be placed on both sides. And I think the sooner you accept that you had a hand in it.
Sure.
And you start to do some self-reflection and say, you know what? I could do better.
Right.
The better off you are.
Sure.
And the better of a partner you will be to somebody else.
For sure. Definitely.
I have a friend, God bless him, known him for years, been through several marriages. To this day, none of them have been his fault in his mind.
And he's easy to be married to.
And I'm just like, dude, there's a common denominator here. Like,
right,
you know, you have to be able to take some responsibility and say, yeah, I probably could be better at this.
Right.
You know, whatever X, Y, Z, you know.
Sure.
But I've had my failures in that department. What about you, Tara?
Okay, so I haven't been divorced.
Thankfully.
Thankfully. I'll let you know at the end of this podcast. Have a sick of me talking about him on the recordings. No, but because I haven't been through a divorce and I will not compare breakups to divorces, I'm just going to tell y'all some stories about some funny shit that I did that messed up some relationships that I was in. The first one being, and as soon as this airs, my mom's going to text me and ground me because I don't even think my parents know this story. But I had my first love, if you will, in high school.
Okay.
And he was the relationship I'm sure many women, maybe men, I don't know, can identify that we were not good for each other, but because we were young, stupid, and thought we were in love, we could not like quit each other. Okay.
And so you were absolutely wrong for one another, but yes, you just would not let it go.
We would not let it go. Even like I would get a different boyfriend, he would get a different girlfriend, we would still just beat this dead horse into the ground, make ourselves as miserable as possible.
The definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different
At
result.
At one point, my mom straight up told me, if you marry him, I will not pay for a penny of this wedding.
Your mom said
my
that?
Parents hated him.
Oh.
Hated him.
Wow.
So I was in college at the time.
Yeah.
This is how I met this guy when I was 13 years old, and it drug on forever.
Wow. Just hung around like a bad penny.
Yes. So at one point.
Yes. Y'all, we are starting to see some squirming and some.
Yeah. this is such a bad look. But I had another, boyfriend. I don't even know what to call them.
You were talking to somebody else?
I was talking to this other guy who I was friends with through high school. Okay. Also, he knew me really well and he had always kind of made his feelings known. And so when I got to college, I was like, you know what? I'm done with assholes. I'm going to go with a nice guy for 5-10 minutes. So technically, in his mind, I may have been his girlfriend.
Oh. So, The new guy.
So I want to go visit the old guy because I like to learn things the hard way. So
if at first you don't succeed, try again.
Yes, exactly. So I went to visit the old guy and I'm driving back to college and I can't remember what I did. Oh, I had to buy gas.
Yeah.
Again, bad planning. Like, I should have got gas where I was from. So my mom saw that my debit card had been used like somewhere I shouldn't have been. And so she's calling, where are you? Like, they knew I had gone to visit the bad boyfriend. Or the old guy, whatever it was. So
busted.
I think, this is going to be a good idea. Let me call my new boyfriend to cover for me that I was visiting him instead of the old boyfriend. Hey, new boyfriend, I know that I went to go visit this old boyfriend, but can you cover for me and say I was with you instead? He was like, I'm sorry. You're telling me you went to go visit your old boyfriend so that I'll cover for you with your mom? He's like, I mean, I guess so. And then he like really considered it for a minute, like covering for me. But then after that, he was pretty much done, which thank you for breaking up with me. I completely deserved that.
So for those of you who think there is no way that's a true story, there's no way she could have had the stones to ask this guy to cover for her with the old boyfriend. In the time I have known you, it is astounding. It is absolutely astounding your ability to get people to do things to help you or to cover for you. Well, sometimes cover for you. But you have an uncanny ability to get people to do things, to do favors for you or to help you.
It is true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. What else you got?
So obviously that was a relationship failure from many, many years ago.
We were all young, dumb, and that's in love at one point in time and have some questionable relationships and some questionable logic when we were in our teens and early 20s, you know, college days or high school days. For yes. Sure.
So yes. Please direct all hate mail to matt@deeplyshallowpodcast.com.
Yes. Please email me why you hate Tara and how she did you wrong. And I'll be sure to get those into the show notes. Yes.
But I mean, I also have failures in my current, you know, marriage, things that I do that are not great. Just for an example, is as strange as it is, because I consider myself to be a good communicator. I mean, I'm speaking publicly
on a podcast.
But
you talk to people all day, right? In sales,
going cold call to people. Right. But my husband, Papa, told me when I had told him about the podcast after we had already started recording. Is he said, I'm really looking forward to hearing that way I can know what's going on in your life. And I was like, I tell you things. He's like, no, you never tell me anything. I'm always finding out way later about things. So that's something that I have to work on.
That is so funny.
Daily.
And
you know?
what is also really funny about that is you probably think you actually did tell him something.
Yes.
But then you can't remember if you did or did not.
Yes. And sometimes I think he takes advantage of the fact that I cannot remember anything. But there will be stuff that I'm like, I swear I told you
this.
And he's like, I've never heard this.
Never heard this.
Or a lot of the times when he can talk is when I'm in the car leaving work.
Right.
And sometimes if there's something big or, you know, something bad happened, I don't want to talk about it right when I get off work. I need a little time to decompress.
Yeah.
And then I'll forget to tell him later. And then I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, yeah. So I got to work on that. So
that's funny.
Relationships are, you know, I've had my ups and downs, if you will.
I think everybody can relate to the ups and downs and failures of relationships.
Sure. What about failures in friendships?
Ooh.
I'll start. I'm perfect. I'm the best friend you could ever have.
Crickets. So I think that friendships, you know, and we hit on this in another podcast episode, friendships are really tough.
Yes.
Because we've all been bad friends. I don't care who you are. At some point you've been a bad friend to somebody. Just and not even meaning to be, mm-hmm. like just being, you know, not aware of something or whatever. So, I mean, yes, I have had plenty of friendships that have gone south over, you know, whether it's a business deal or whether it's a, you know, something that happened with city council or, you know, or all those things. But I will tell you, the older I get, the more resilient I am to come back from those.
Sure.
You know, I've had some like knockout, drag out fights with folks. And not spoken to them for, you know, several months or whatever. And then consciously said, I've got to mend this fence, you know, mend this bridge, you know, I've got to get back to that.
And speaking of that, for those of y'all who do not know, which is probably most of you, Matt and I have been in a pretty big fight before.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
He was about to disagree with me. Like, yeah, he forgot.
No. Well, we've agreed we both have terrible memories. But yes, we did have a...
We had a doozy.
We did. Yeah. We did. That was... Luckily, we don't have many of those. We will have a tiff or a ruffled feather, but generally, we don't have knockout dragouts any longer.
That's right. We were one and done, I think, in that department. Yes. We got in a fight over something stupid.
Was stupid. But Tara is nothing if not stubborn.
Yeah, and Matt is totally stubborn as
well. And so even though it was a petty, stupid issue.
We were literally fighting over a couple's massage, you guys.
But it wasn't.
But it wasn't we were fighting about somebody else's couple's massage. Yelling at each other, calling each other names, not speaking over right, someone else's massage. Makes no sense. I'm embarrassed to be us right now.
That was, oh my gosh.
Banana had to text us and be like, listen, you two.
Yes.
I don't know what's wrong with y'all, but get over it.
And then we did. If Tara and I are in a tiff or a little disagreement, the banana will come in and she said, Tara called. And I'll say, yeah. And she's like, she wants to know what's wrong with her brother. You need to call her. Okay, fine. And then We work it out.
Yeah, because it's important. When you have a good friend, your feelings are going to get hurt. You're going to hurt other people's feelings.
Yes, yes.
You got to work it out.
Yes, and in that light, you know, there are so many situational things that can let us grow apart.
Mm-hmm.
And you really do, you really do have to make it a priority.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's just, there's just no way around it. Mm-hmm. Because you will look up, if you don't make it a priority, you will look up weeks, months, years have passed and you haven't talked to someone or interacted with someone or whatever. So you really do have to make that a priority for sure.
It's easy to be a failure in relationships. It's easy. Yes,
it's easy.
It's because harder to get back up on the horse, I think, in relationships than it is in any other area of life.
And I will tell you now, sitting here as a 40-year-old, that I am so thankful for the relationships that I have fixed,
mm-hmm.
you know, that I had let go and then reconnected with. And like, one of my accomplishments that I am the most proud of is that if I have had a friend that I've left on bad terms with for whatever reason and calling them and saying, hey, let's go to lunch, work this out, you know, and
absolutely.
Apologizing and saying, hey, this has gone on too long. We need to, you know, get back to whatever it was. Life's too short.
For sure. For sure. All right. Final thoughts on failure. What is something that you see as a failure within yourself that you struggle with or that you have to make a conscious effort to work on?
Oh, Tara, I constantly struggle with pleasing people.
Mm-hmm.
Like I constantly want to, and consequently that gets me in trouble more and more because I don't want to let people down. So I want, and so then I agree to do too much.
Sure.
I take on, you know, too many projects or too many causes or whatever. And then you end up being not good at any of them because sure. you're too spread thin. Like
right.
that's probably the thing that I struggle with the most is
you want to be a yes. You're a yes man.
The hardest word in the English language is no, you right. know, that kind of thing. But so that's probably what I have to struggle with on a daily basis. What about you?
You know, I hate to admit this, but one of the biggest failures I see in myself is that I put too much of my energy into negative attention or negative opinion, yeah. I guess, is meaning if 10 people
right.
think yes. I'm doing a great job
yes.
and one person thinks I'm yes. doing a bad job,
that
I focus yeah. in on that one
yeah.
person and that the anger I feel
right.
or the resentment yeah. or whatever the emotion yeah. is fuels me to work harder, be better. Right. But I hate that it comes from that place.
Right.
I wish that my motivation yeah. came from
yep.
the 9 people giving me positive.
Right. The 90% of the folks who are yes. supporting you and all that. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
yeah. That's, yeah. I hate that I focus on that. It's something I really have to struggle with and constantly try to bring myself back to center is to ignore the negative.
Right.
Focus on the positive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it is. But I mean, it's a tough thing to do. And I guarantee you, as folks are listening, there are a ton of people who are acknowledging like, yep, that's me. Like,
sure.
20 great, you know, compliments. And that one person said something and that's what I'm going to focus on today. You know,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's hard. Yeah. And I think when we are decided to talk about failure, and as yep. I said at the beginning of the podcast, I was very nervous, very vulnerable because we wanted to talk, well, I at least wanted to talk about failure without sounding as bitter about a couple situations in my life that I genuinely do feel bitterness
yeah,
towards.
Right.
There's some failures I look back on and I laugh and smile and, you know, thank God for. And then there's some that still fill me with so much anger
right.
or animosity yep. and they still feel so raw and bitter.
Right.
And I think it's okay to have both.
Absolutely. No question.
Yeah.
No question.
I think it's okay to not force yourself to feel things.
Right.
We've talked about that maybe right. on every episode.
Yes. Yes.
You know, that you're going to heal.
Right.
At whatever pace you need to
your heal. Timeline.
Right. On your timeline.
Right.
Do what makes you healthy.
Yes.
And we really try to put it all out there on
yeah.
this podcast.
Yeah.
Keeping it real is something we really like to focus on. But sometimes you're not ready.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah. And kind of to piggyback on that, one of the things that was really important, you know, when we decided to talk about failures was because we know that probably at least a few of these things have resonated or hit and you've been able to relate to and say, oh yeah, I remember that one time or I remember this time or whatever. And, you know, like I kind of said at the towards the beginning of the program, when I started making this list of what I consider some failures and looking back on them and laughing and realizing how much better things are now, or whatever the case is, that's kind of our whole moral purpose of this episode is to realize that, like, accept the failures, learn from them, you know, and love who you are now.
Right.
Love yourself.
Life is moving forward.
Yes.
Join it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's cliche, but grow through what you go through.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, Tara, it's time for your favorite portion of the show.
I hate that.
What are you hating this week?
Okay. So I drive to work.
Yes.
Every morning, like most people do. And because I'm cheap and will not take a toll road, I take a lot of strange
routes,
residential roads to get to my office. On one of these roads, there is a crossing guard out there serving the public, keeping the children safe.
Yeah.
I'm so embarrassed to admit this, but when he doesn't wave at me when I drive by, it makes me feel so mad.
Okay, so this crossing guard, does he generally wave at people?
He waves.
Yes.
Yes, he's friendly. Except sometimes not to me. And so when I have realized that when I'm getting closer to the street, like my heart rate starts getting a little faster.
Oh my gosh.
Like I'm getting nervous. Is he gonna wave at me today? Like, it makes me anxious thinking about this total stranger might not wave at me. Because then I feel like he's mad at me because I was going too fast. Or like, dude, like, start my day off right. Like, I'm over here. I lift my hand up sometimes. Does not lift the hand back.
Does not
give me the wave.
I am surprised, as driven as you are, that you don't literally like make the block.
Genuinely thought about
come back around,
bringing him a Starbucks.
That's a nice idea.
Like, always wave at me.
Yeah.
But then if I did that and he missed waving at me one day, I would be irate. I would be mad.
There is no pleasing you with this.
Yeah.
He is literally in a no-win situation with you.
Unless he
just chooses to wave at you every single
day. Yes, I need a wave every... I'm going to have to start finding a different route to go to work. I'm serious. Like, it gets in my head so bad, y'all.
Okay, if anyone was questioning how neurotic we are, I think that we have cemented their thoughts in this situation.
I just want him to wave at me.
Oh, Tara.
I know. It's crazy. I can't help it. I hate it. Yeah. What about you, Matt? What are you hating?
You know what? I hate when I don't get the proper credit I deserve.
Okay. What are we missing? You look really handsome today.
And it has to do with you.
I knew you were going to bring this up.
You and the banana.
You're the worst.
Okay. I'm going to tell this very quickly. Actually,
I'm going to give my rebuttal.
No.
I'm just kidding.
Actually, you can answer a couple of questions.
All right.
I have been forced to go to cheer competitions since meeting the banana.
Oh, my God.
Now, I will say that I enjoy spending time, and I know a lot of the parents that are on the team. So, you know, it's not like it's a terrible deal for me. So, we recently had a cheer competition that we were both at because your team was competing.
Mm-hmm.
And for the audience who is not cheerleading aware,
you're the lucky ones.
Tara, how do they score cheerleading routines? What are the two scores? Just be brief. Just give us the real down and dirty.
I do not want to participate.
Okay, she's not going to participate.
The down and dirty scores are the raw score.
So the raw score is the maximum score you could achieve if your routine was perfect.
Absolutely.
Based on the difficulty level that you have chosen for your routine.
Right. Okay. Execution. So on and so forth.
So this is similar to gymnastics or figure skating. I mean, it's kind of scored in the same way. So then you perform, and then they deduct any infractions or things that you didn't do or whatever.
Right.
So then you end up with a net score, and that's what you go with.
Sure.
So I called a team's performance, raw score and their net score. And Banana told me, who is a person who's been in cheerleading for 15, 20 years, she said, "I'll kiss your ass if that's their score." As we're walking to the park, because we don't actually find out the scores until later, right?
For other teams,
you know your score. So she says, I'll kiss your ass if they got that score. We walk to the car. Hours later, I guess you texted her. Yeah. Hours later, she just goes like pale white on the couch. We're back home. We're watching. And I actually kind of forgot. And she's like, you're not going to believe this. And I said, what? And she told me, I said that this team got had a 95 raw score, 93.6 net score. They had a 94.9 raw score and a 93.68 actual score. And I was mocked by you and the banana both for my unbelievable, uncanny ability to call scores out. I hate that.
This has been an exercise in self-control.
How about an exercise in suffering? That's what I went through.
Oh my God.
I hate that.
I respect it.
All right.
All right, y'all. This has been Failing Like We Just Don't Care. Not sure that's an appropriate title because I really care. But, but we hope that we have given y'all a laugh and you've been able to reflect on some of your failures. If you have any, you might not.
Might not.
Might be a perfect person. But if so, just remember our failures do not define us.
Absolutely.
The type of podcast we listen to do.
There you go. And just remember, we might sound shallow, but the depth is real.
And don't forget to check us out on Instagram at Deeply Shallow Podcast and like Deeply Shallow Podcast on Facebook.
Hey, Tara, we've really enjoyed our podcast experience. But I think we would both agree that creating and launching a podcast is way more than just recording content. We had no idea how much technology could help or hurt a podcast. I mean, we could be spending hours on editing, audio quality, uploading to a hosting service, just to name a few.
Totally agree. We interviewed several companies and couldn't be happier with Riley and his team at Podigy. Their skills, passion, and professionalism have proven to be the best partners for us.
Yeah, that's podigy.co, podigy.co. Right now, they're offering 25% off first month services for new podcasters.